Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome our guests. We don't have enough guests, but thank you, Ashley. We have Ashley Milne-Tyne. Am I saying that correctly?
Milne-Tyne.
Thank you. Ashley has her own podcast called The Broad Experience, which we've been on, and it's a conversation about women, the workplace, and success. She's also a writer and public radio reporter based in New York. So welcome, Ashley.
Thanks very much for having me.
Would you like to just tell our audience a little bit about The Broad Experience?
Sure. So The Broad Experience basically considers all women's experiences in the workplace through the lens of gender. It's not solely about women. There's a lot of stuff about men in there as well. But I noticed a number of years ago that I was having slightly different experiences than my male colleagues.
Right.
And I began to question the way I had been raised and all my perceptions about how I should be at work.
Uh-huh.
And all this led me to the idea that if I was making all these mistakes in my career that I didn't realize were mistakes, then there must be a lot of other women out there who were undergoing the same kind of thing. So I started the show because of that. And I'm hear from people all the time now. So
absolutely. I'm a regular listener. So I think you're doing a great job.
You are.
And I think that women, not that men don't need help also, but I think that women in the workplace is a fairly new phenomena. I mean, my mother didn't work. I mean, it's generational. It is a fairly new experience. So we do need support in how to handle our careers. So today we're gonna address a topic that personally I have been wanting to talk about for a very long time.
It's true, Kathy.
I've been on this for a while, but anyway, and so this is also why we wanted Ashley. And we're gonna be talking about upspeak and vocal fry. So those are technical terms.
Vocal fry.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to do it now.
I don't think I can do it.
So we've got two separate questions that cover this issue, and we're going to look forward to Ashley's input as well. But just to give you a little idea, so upspeak and vocal fry. Upspeak is when the voice goes
up. Everything's a question.
Everything's a question.
Whether it's a question or not.
And it's not just girls that do this. Boys do it also. And vocal fry. And that sort of seems to be a speaking pattern that's very, very popular today. What, did I do it well?
You did do it well. I was going to say, do you practice?
You hear it so much. Anyway, let's just get to it. Logan, what's question number one?
I work in HR for a big law firm, and I've been interviewing recent law school graduates for entry-level legal associate positions. I'm noticing this condition mostly among the younger women where they have speech patterns that sound really unprofessional. I've read about it, and now I understand that I'm hearing upspeak and vocal fry. To date, I've simply rejected any candidates who speak this way, but I may be losing potentially skilled young lawyers. So now I'm wondering whether I should be telling them that their speech patterns are hurting them professionally. Any thoughts?
You know, yes. I mean, I've actually not brought it up to my clients, I think it does have to be addressed now. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm really curious, do we know whether that writer is a man or a woman?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. They don't always tell us.
There could be some bias in this question.
And it doesn't necessarily make any difference, because as a woman, I certainly notice these speech patterns a lot. But I'm always curious just to know where the person is coming from whether they're male or female. Yeah, this is tricky because I don't think it's fair that these people are being passed over for jobs without knowing what the problem is.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think it behooves you as a manager, if there's something harming somebody's progress that they could possibly change, then it's your job to let them know what that is rather than wait until it's too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you. And actually, I think it would be even beyond doing your job, it would be a service to those individuals, at least to let them know that the way they're speaking is not helping them in terms of getting the job. But I don't know how exactly you would say it. how one would say
it's an interesting one. I mean, I have a couple of clients that only have this age group that speaks this way as staff. They happen to be in PR and advertising. And even the owner speaks this way, and she's older. And I think that, I mean, it's really big. But I think a law firm, they represent maybe clients that spend a lot of money. And did I just do that? Like, So they...
I agree.
They may want a specific type of communication style.
Yeah.
And I think this is a tough issue. I mean, I think... This is something that really has to be addressed, and I would say that this person should say something.
Mm-hmm. What exactly is it that the person would say? That's what I'd be curious about.
See, it's hard not to sound offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just would you be interested in some feedback? You could ask that question about the way you present.
Well, why couldn't you say, you know, you are a very viable candidate, but there is one thing. Would you be open to hearing? Because I think it's something you can correct. Uh-huh. You can say something like that. There's only one thing standing in the way between you and this job.
Or being considered for this job, because HR is usually the gate, right?
Sometimes they make the decision. But so you could say it that way, that in order for me to pass you along, in order for you to get to the next step, there is one thing that would have to change.
And if I said, what is it?
Well, most people will say, what is it? They're usually not going to say, no, I don't care what you're thinking.
And is it?
And now that we know, there are real terms for these speech patterns. So why can't they say that I hear a lot of upspeak?
Uh-huh.
And in this firm, you won't be taken seriously. So can you be considerate of that? Can you work on that?
And this is part of conforming to corporate culture, which is what you have to do if you're going to work anywhere. If you're going to work there for any period of time, you have to fit in.
You do.
Well, actually, I think that's a great point on both sides. And I'm thinking maybe even the introduction would be, if you're interested in working in this particular culture, I need to give you some feedback, right?
Right.
There'd be one thing that you'd have to address.
I mean, HR would give feedback on dress.
Uh-huh.
HR would say, when you meet so-and-so, it's important to wear closed-toe shoes.
Yeah.
Or you may want to
cover up the tattoos.
Or the cleavage.
Or a suit, you know.
Yeah.
So why not also address this?
Yeah.
And this may be part of the new vocabulary going forward, that this has to be addressed.
Then you might also have to be ready with a resource, right, of where they might get instruction to deal with this.
Right. Well, I believe that there are people that handle accents. You know, there are speech... therapist, what are they called?
Speech pathologists.
Right. Mm-hmm. That can help you. And I think it's something that can be done in a couple of sessions.
Yes.
Where they would help you change your speech pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there are tons of voice coaches out there.
Voice coaches. That's it.
I met one through a story I did about these issues several years ago for a public radio network. But and she not only does accents, but all these speech patterns, everything. And I think there are a lot of other people like her who do exactly this. You know, what you may run into, of course, is that the person, depending on who they are, may be quite offended and say, why shouldn't, who are you to tell me, this is me, this is what I sound like, why should I conform to an old school view of how I should sound?
Right, then if I'm in HR, I could say, you don't, actually, I'm just giving you these tips if you'd like to work here. I mean, because that's really as far as your territory can go, right? If you're in the position of an HR specialist, that's what you can address, is here in this setting, in this establishment, that won't go.
Yeah. And I think it's really, what's really great about this note is that the person has recognized, I might actually be bypassing some really skilled people by just rejecting them out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you've gone through years of law school.
Yeah.
And you know, and I don't know where you went, but you got through it speaking this way.
And you graduated? And you got your degree and you passed the bar. That's right. You've done a lot of hard work.
I've done a lot of work. So if this is what it takes to, you know, get a job, I think it's important to do it. You know, I don't, I've actually never confronted any of my clients about this, although I probably should. Maybe I will starting tomorrow.
Try it. Come back to us.
And I'll let you know.
Let us know how they reacted.
Well, you'd have to confront in context, right? If they were saying something like, I don't think I'm being taken seriously, or there's a job I'm applying for and I want all things to be lined up in the best possible way, then you have a context for saying something.
You know, I think that some companies may be okay with it if it fits the position that they're in. Maybe they'll be speaking to other people that way.
Like PR, potentially?
Right. So it depends on what you're going for. But in general, I have a hard time with the whole thing. First of all, let me just say the vocal fry, that hurts your throat, doesn't it?
It's not good for your vocal cords.
Yeah, that has been established, I think.
Yeah.
But so why are they
not much of a consciousness? Is there?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think a lot of people aren't aware of it.
This stuff is completely subconscious,
unconscious.
And that's why it's so hard to change. And that's why.
Right. There has to be an interesting psychological piece. That's what I'm really thinking about.
Yeah. So
it's generation. It's relating to other people
of your same generation. Which, by the way, just so that we can own our own problems, and my experience growing up and coming into the world of work, I said like way too many
I did. I've never heard that.
Well, I cut it out because I realized that it was going to hurt me, that I wouldn't be taken seriously, and also that I sounded very vague, because I was like always like liking things.
Yeah, so that came out of the Valley Girl, not the Valley. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
This came from Catherine.
No, it came from my friends. Like we all did it quite a bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a peer established thing. Same with swearing. Not that I'm a big swearer, nor have I been, but at one point I swore quite a bit.
This is out of nowhere. I know Catherine for so many years. I have never known any of this.
But all I'm saying is we learn certain bad habits with our peers. We can, so, right?
Where did this come from?
Affiliating.
Is this the Kardashian influence? Is that what this is?
I don't know. I don't watch them, so I don't know where vocal fry comes from.
Well, they definitely have vocal fry.
Okay. Okay. So I do think a lot of this comes from, well, reality TV.
And, yeah. Yes.
Celebrities, frankly.
Uh-huh. Right. That's right. Mimicking.
But the upspeak has been going on for a long time.
Yes, and started with the Valley Girls, right? That was probably part of it.
I think so. I couldn't swear to that, but it's something that I feel is certainly I've lived in the US for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something I noticed as soon as I moved here.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't. It's not something that I remember the UK at all. I was really struck by women's speech patterns in particular and observed for years, and then was finally able to do a story on it.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Years later,
yes,
because I was so struck by this, the question, the interrogative at the end of a sentence, which made it sound like you were asking a question even when you weren't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you cannot go too far in the professional world when you do that, I think, because you want...
Unless you're a Kardashian.
Well, listen...
Especially in a law firm where you're supposed to be and affirmative. And
yes.
I would think in a law firm, absolutely not. But it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent.
It is.
And everyone's working.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, women have to work, as we all know, a lot harder than men to be heard in general. So if you end every sentence going up as a question, that's
or
not...
coming down.
It's not declarative, and it's going to hurt your career. I think it's really obvious. And I've seen women as they are in the workplace and as they mature in the workplace, they do start to speak more professionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it could also be an issue of maturation, of getting older
maturity.
And figuring things out. Yeah, and we can encourage... I mean, I think the big thing, and Logan, you were just talking about, I think the thing to consider if you have this particular vocal habit or these habits... Is it making you sound less confident?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's a really key quality for professional success, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at least being perceived as being confident.
Yeah,
even if you're faking it. But if your sentences are going up at the end, then you're telegraphing that you're not sure about what you're saying. That's why I think it really lets people down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, anything else on this question? I think
in summation,
this is such an important topic. You know, I hear it a lot in the elevator where I live. I live in a building that has a lot of young people. It sort of has some transient people living there.
Yeah.
And I hear it mostly in the elevator when you're trapped.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I cannot believe the way they're speaking. And the boys are doing it also. It's not just the young girls. It's
yes.
both of them.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. It's like this is the way they relate to each other. So
yeah.
it's almost a
yes,
right?
Intergroup.
Yeah. Well, that's. But I think that is also generational. I mean, think about even the hippie generation. Like, wow, man, how's it going?
Everything
I mean, there's
was
a lingo.
Cool.
Cool.
That's who I am. I'm a hippie. And yes,
yeah.
everything was cool.
Yeah.
yeah. That's right.
There was a way of interacting that would not fly in, say, IBM.
Well, we didn't take it out of that group, I don't believe. I think we...
I would challenge that statement, actually, but say that eventually those people, except for the rock and roll stars who get to continue to use that lingo, eventually they probably became more conservative and formal in speaking.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, why don't we take a quick commercial break and we'll come back with question number two.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Logan, what's question number two on this interesting topic?
After working 5 years as a structural engineer at a large architecture firm, I've just learned that the guy who was 2 years junior to me got promoted above me. I'm so upset. I went to my mentor at the firm, who is in a much more senior position, and she explained that my speech patterns remind my direct boss of the Kardashians. She said, the perception is that you aren't smart enough for the job. Besides feeling totally insulted and misunderstood, I have no idea how to correct this problem. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Ooh, that hurts.
It hurts, but it's good to know. Don't you think?
Kathy always goes right to the
I'm like,
of course it's good to know, but it's a very painful piece. I'm the shrink, so I'll just say it's a very painful piece of information.
And I'm the executive coach. Yeah. We take that info and we run.
We take action.
We run with it.
So I'm handing you a Kleenex, dear. And Kathy, you give her.
I'm hiring a coach for you a speech coach,
yeah.
As we learned from Ashley, there are speech coaches.
Yeah,
I mean, I would imagine that actors, you know, use speech coaches all the time to learn accents, unlearn accents.
Yeah,
so
that
can be fixed.
And also, just to clarify, though, that this writer, because Logan's reading the letter, this writer is female.
Yes.
Okay, we just want to double clarify that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right. So, what does that say to you?
Well, I mean, the fact that. As so many women have experienced something like this where some guy who's below you in the hierarchy has that job that you wanted.
That's right.
And you don't, and it's for all these reasons that you can never quite understand or put your finger on or that nobody will tell you. And it is often little things like this.
Yes.
I mean, this is obviously, prejudicial. But what annoys me about this is that, again, if they had a problem with her voice, they
Why
should have told her. They're not doing that thing where they're mentoring and encourage her and giving her feedback all along. It shouldn't be this thing where you give somebody feedback once a year. If there's something they're doing
after they're disappointed,
that's harming their career, they should that should be communicated to them as early as possible so that they can start to
that's
work
a good point.
On it.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a very true experience, right? Which is we don't find out what's wrong until it's too late.
Yep.
And then it's very hard for, besides if she gets voice coaching, she still has to break out of the role that she's now been cast in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So this is going to be, I think it would be a real process that she'd have to consider. Is this a place that would be willing to consider me, see me in a different light if I address this? I mean, address it anyway, but will they give me a real second chance here.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And actually, this is a real client of mine, and I think that is what she's considering. She is wondering, well, what's going to come next?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because now, if they're not going to, if they're going to continue to kind of pigeonhole her as this person with the baby voice, then she's screwed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. And that's her feeling, is that there may be more to this.
Right.
Than just that, and that maybe this is not the right firm for her, although it was her dream to work there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also very, I think, just from a personal, if you can imagine that now you're walking around and you're wondering, what else don't I know here,
right?
And when you're speaking, you're aware of that, or imagining that people are judging or assessing everything that's coming out of your mouth. That's a stressful situation to be in. Mm-hmm. It may be worth weathering, but it definitely takes internal guts.
Yeah. And also, and I can say from my own experience that I went to a voice coach to work on my filler words, which I'm sure I've deployed aplenty during this discussion. Because I let all my good habits slide. But so the voice coach who I met through the story I reported for public radio about women having baby voices, I knew that she worked on all sorts of issues. And I thought, well, I don't really have a huge problem with upspeak, and I'd never heard of vocal fry at the time. But I knew from listening back to my radio interviews that I used a lot of filler words. Not like, but you know is one of mine, and of course, we all say and there may be some others that I'm not thinking of. But when I listened back to my interviews, I was struck by just how often I was using these words. And I wanted to cut the incidence of those words. So I worked with her, and it was a number of sessions. So I can say to your earlier point, Kathy, it will, for something like this, it's going to take more than a couple of sessions. It's going to be working with somebody for weeks and weeks. But what it does is, I thought, how can I correct this? It's completely unconscious. But what the coach does is they help you to become conscious of things that you're completely doing.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that I could overcome it, because I thought, but this is invisible. I'm not doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
But what they do is they help you realize when you're doing it. They help you slow down. They give you exercises. And I found it a really interesting process, and I wish that I had practiced more, because I know...
You're sounding very good, Ashley. I just want you to know.
So they teach you how to slow down to be more. It's a very interesting. We have a client right now who has a thick accent. I forget what country he's from.
Sri Lanka?
I'm not sure.
No.
And you only can't understand him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're teaching him how to slow down. He's so much better. And actually for him, it worked very quickly. Although I think it was a 10 session. Maybe we didn't speak to him. Maybe he did have 10 sessions till we spoke to him. And there was a significant difference. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to just the whole pattern, speech pattern, because I can't possibly be the only one who doesn't like it. Like,
right. No.
It doesn't sound right.
Well, it doesn't sound right to us, though, because we're not in the generation
that I'm not ready
uses
to...
it most often. Yeah. And this is
Wait
the problem.
A minute. They're hurting their throats. And that sounds okay?
Well, they can do whatever they want with their throats, technically speaking. It's just, I mean, you may have a judgment about it, and certainly society may, and certainly corporations may, but I don't know if you have to come out and say it's this horrible thing. It's something that's happening right now. Listen, I don't like pants that hang down halfway down someone's butt.
Well, we can do a show about that, too. That's usually not in the office.
No, it's actually in many offices.
Oh, is it?
Sure. But all I'm saying is that, yes, you can come down with a very strong, I don't like this and I don't think it's right. We can say that. One can say that. But I don't think out of hand that it's a horrible thing. I personally don't.
You don't?
No.
See, I do.
I understand that.
I think that it's demeaning.
Well, you think it's demeaning
to whom? Yeah, demeaning to whom?
To whom?
I think that the young women and men that speak this way are demeaning themselves.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that by having, by speaking in a way that, you know, drags out or, you know, goes up, it doesn't, it doesn't tell who they are. They sound like everybody else. They all sound alike, almost identical. So it's not the words they're choosing, like we would say cool, or it's not the words. It's the whole way they're
intonation.
Speaking. And there's very few words actually being said. It's just a lot of sound that's...
Well,
I'm sorry. I have a lot of judgment about it.
And we hear that, and we can appreciate it.
And I think, and when I first did a story on this about 7-8 years ago, I did it because it wasn't just young women I was hearing this from. It was, I worked for a business show. It was quite tough to get female sources. I could have probably, look, this whole business of when you work for a business show, most of your sources are men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when I did get a woman, it, so often I thought, oh, she sounds like a baby. I finally had a woman from the financial world to interview, and it struck me several times, the person I got sounded so young, and I knew they weren't super young to be in the job they were in. They had to be 35.
Yeah.
So... And that's what got me thinking, why is this so pronounced? Why are so many people speaking like this? I think, honestly, think with Upspeak, it may have spread now amongst a whole group, but I think for women, it, there's a confidence thing in there. It's like you not wanting to own your words.
Right, right.
And when I catch myself doing it, that's why I'm doing it.
So
I
agree.
Because I'm a little bit tentative and I'm not quite sure I want to own that and associate myself with that. And women very much like to be liked. We've been raised to be liked, and it all plays into that. As long as you don't own anything, everyone will like you because you're not putting, you're not, you know, putting your foot on the ground and, and saying, I own this.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is socialization. This is, and this really is that these girls are being socialized into speaking this way. And, all right, that's, you know where I stand.
I do know where you stand. And I think, but to what Ashley is saying, I think it's a universal issue. I don't think it's just Upspeak and Vocal Fry. That's the most recent iteration of this condition. For the challenge for many women is to speak with certainty and confidence and clarity. So this is now, today. In 10 years' time, we'll have another thing we can talk about that, you know, young women may be doing with their voices, probably for mating purposes in some regard, you know, some for some sociological reason. And we can certainly support them in not being self-demeaning and not in being taken seriously in the workplace.
So to go back to the questioner, I think, you know, what should she do? It sounds, it does, I think we're all in agreement that there may be multiple issues at this particular workplace.
Yes.
So she can work on this, but there may also be some other good reasons to maybe not stay.
Yeah, to really, I think the opportunity here is to really examine the culture that you're in and see what the true possibilities are for you. And maybe this mentor, you might want to meet a little more frequently with this mentor as well, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you find out if she were to go for speech lessons, how will she be able to determine that it's helping her?
Right, right. She's going to need feedback.
Yeah.
Believe me, the coach will give you feedback. But also she'll want feedback. She'll probably get feedback from family or colleagues or whomever.
Yeah.
But I know there's a resistance to doing that because it's like, what? Why aren't I good enough as I am?
Yes.
But I think if you are, if you do decide that you want to stay and you're invested in sounding the way this company culture wants you to sound, then it's not hard to find a coach who can who can help you with that.
You've sold me on coaching.
I think it's the way to go.
It ain't cheap, I can tell you that.
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure. But sometimes.
But it's a worthwhile investment, yes?
But sometimes the company will pay.
Yes. If you're with a company.
Good point, Kathy.
I was paying, but the company will often pay if they're invested in this. So,
right.
It's you learn a lot as well. So I it was an interesting journey for me.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this show, although we could probably talk about this for a lot longer. So just to circle back to Ashley, The Broad Experience, how can people hear The Broad Experience?
So it's on every podcast app imaginable, from iTunes to the other 15 that are out there, or just at thebroadexperience.com. You can listen to it on the player there as well.
Oh, great. Thank you for being with us.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Please tweet us your stories and advice about Upspeak, Vocal Fry, or any other communication issues you think are interesting. And join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.